Happy Sabbath, brethren. Hope you all had a good week. I'll get a little bit wet today, I think, but that's okay. For beginners, I would like to express a sincere thank you and appreciation for all the cards, phone calls, messages, texts, and prayers about my recent health crisis. We received just numerous calls and messages, inquiries, and asking how I'm doing and whatnot, and it kept my wife busy answering all of those. She was in my de facto media secretary, her messaging guru. One thing, a lot of those messages that I got, though, I noticed that it said that they were just praying for me. So I didn't know if they were praying for my recovery or my demise. I mean, it could have went either way. Well, but thinking about that, by not specifying which one, means that they were leaving the result in God's hands, right? Well, that's always a good thing, so thank you for that. Bravo to you for putting God first in that regard. No, Paul said that it would have been better for him to die and be resurrected with Christ. But God decided, no, evidently the brethren needed you, so he kept Paul on earth for a little bit longer, I should say. That's in Philippians 1. It might be my case, but I think in my case, it's probably that I need to build more character, and that's why I'm here. But anyway, we never know when a serious issue might come unexpectedly. Mine certainly was not expected. I should have seen it coming, though, because all the signs were there, but I wasn't looking. But it was a wake-up call, an experience that I will never forget. In this message, I plan on talking about that experience and bringing out some of the spiritual highlights that I learned from it that I had not ever considered before and probably wouldn't have without that kind of an experience. The main thrust of this message is about self-control. In fact, that is the title of it. Self-control is crucial to attain the kingdom of God, and I'll explain that as we go through this. And in light of that topic, self-control, I've got a question for each of you. Can you honestly say that you are in control of yourself? That's an interesting question. I had to think about that one. Am I in control of myself? And the answer was no. That's why I wound up in a hospital with a stroke condition. It could be a scary thought, if not being in control. In Genesis 4, God had some good instruction for Cain. I'll just read it here. It says, if you do well, will you not have honor? And if you do wrong, sin is waiting at the door, desiring to have you, but you must master over it. Way back then, it was said, we must master over sin. We do that by mastering over ourselves. Self-control. The lack of that is what caused my health issues. I whipped AFib 8 years ago. I had it. And in that process, I learned what to do to reverse it and to overcome it. And I did through diet. Proper health laws, proper diet will get you out of an AFib situation. But I let my diet slip. I got sloppy. And it came back. Self-control has to be continually maintained. So my illness was really a self-induced illness by breaking health laws and especially by wrong diet. When that stroke hit, I thought my life was over. I could not talk. I could not write well even. And that is a devastating thought when you're confronted with that reality that you may never talk properly again. You know, we as God's people are not free to just do whatever we want with our bodies, to put all kinds of things that should not be in there or too much of it, even if it's a good thing. We actually have the Spirit of God within us, which is a holy essence. And God wants us to have a holy body, a healthy mind, because this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are that. And God wants a healthy temple to work with. Not taking care of our health would open up ourselves to disease, physical troubles. When we break a physical law, there's always a repercussion, just like a physical, a spiritual law. Now, I don't say that all illnesses come from broken laws. There's a lot of reasons that it does happen. There may be a goodly purpose, but probably more often it's an accident or self-induced like mine. Even the aging process itself is going to bring on health issues. Bound to happen. Not our fault. But even as Adam and Eve were commanded and instructed to keep the Garden of Eden, we are instructed to keep our garden, our life, our health in good working condition and not let it deteriorate, not treat it badly. Turn to Galatians 5, if you would. You probably know where I'm going with this, but there's some powerful stuff in here. Galatians 5. And in verse 19, it lists a whole bunch of bad human proclivities, talking about the works of the flesh, which are evident. And it goes through a whole list of some pretty nasty stuff. And every one of those is something that God will not tolerate. Of which I tell you beforehand, the last part of the verse, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, these works of the flesh is why it's so hard for people to obey God, to live a godly lifestyle. It's just not in their nature. By design, that's the way we are. God created the human mind, the human body, and he knows that that mind, that body, needs specific things to keep it on the right track, to keep it healthy, to keep it spiritually sound. By design. And he knows exactly what's needed to keep it that way. These things are needed to help us cope with life, to cope with this world, to cope with the spiritual realities of evil forces out there that we know about, and to cope with our own weaknesses. Now, the list of those things are given to us through God's Spirit. After we're baptized, laid on hand, we have that Spirit given to us. Galatians 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Now, these fruits is the list of ingredients that are necessary, mandatory, for us to have to maintain a godly lifestyle. Those nine things help us to build the godly character that God is looking for us. And each one of them, every one of them, is an actual propensity of God Himself. It defines God's very nature. And they help us to overcome ourselves, Satan, and this world, in the sense that these fruits of the Spirit are tools that we need to cope with this life and even our calling. We might look at these fruits as things that are automatically installed in us at baptism, laying on of the hands. That's true. However, just being installed within us does not make those things happen automatically. We have to put them into action. You know, the Bible states that we are known by our fruits, right? We are known how we conduct our lives. We are known by how we treat other people. We are known by the things that we do in a godly sense to serve each other and to serve God. It's actually up to us to put all of these into practice and follow through with the actions that's needed. Being given these fruits changes the human heart to be able to do these things. Without the Spirit, we will not have this love, this joy, this peace, the long-suffering. It puts it in us, but we have to apply it and make use of it. We all have weaknesses, faults. That nine list of the things are the answers to every fault that we have, every human proclivity for wrong. You know, a prime example of self-control is Jesus Christ Himself. The whole life, everything that He did, hanging on that cross, took extreme self-control and do it without one single sin. That is extreme self-control. You know, God has put up with humanity for thousands of years in mercy, in patience, because of all the human sins. The self-control is something that we have to consciously exercise. They are given to us, these spirits, but we have to apply ourselves to learn them and properly use them. We have to think, we have to meditate, ponder about the situations and experiences that we are in, and come up using these spirits of how God would respond to each and every one of them. There is a way. It takes control, it takes wisdom, and oftentimes it takes a lot of patience as well. It's not like God just puts them in there, then that's all we need to do. They're there, I have them now. Well, they're there, but it's like a tool in a toolbox. You've got to take that tool out of the toolbox and put it to work. We have free moral agency, so we have to choose how we're going to use these tools. But oftentimes we fail to use them, don't know how to use them. You know, any power tool takes a little bit of training in how to operate that thing. They can be dangerous if not used properly. But self-control can have a dynamic impact on anybody's life. It can stop a bad word from being spoken. It can stop a bad action from happening. It can stop a bad decision from being put into action. A lot of good things that self-control can do. Stop and think. Compare it with what the Bible says, what God wants us to do and think. Does it match up? Self-control. Every tool can be used. But just knowing that that wrench is in the toolbox is not going to help me much. I've got to go in there and get it. Learn how to use it. And put it to action. You know, just knowing about them is not enough. God says it's the doers of the law those who take action and accomplish something will be rewarded for it. You know, even the simple thing like controlling a diet, you think that'd be so easy. No, it's not. It takes effort to stay on a diet. Self-denial, self-control is needed. If our diet gets out of control by neglect or even ignorance, there's going to be a repercussion. We overdo the physical to the detriment of the spiritual. You know about all the churches in Revelation 2 and 3, how God instructs every one of them, all seven. In every one of those accounts, towards the end, it says, he who overcomes will get this reward, whatever it means. It varies which church he's talking about. Every one of them. But turn to Revelation 21 to nail this one down. Revelation 21. You think if God was wrapping anything up, putting emphasis on something that matters on going into the kingdom, here it is. Revelation 21, verse 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. If you want to wrap up what this life is about, right there it is. So, what are we to overcome? We have to overcome this world. We have to overcome Satan, all his demons, and we have to overcome ourselves. How do we overcome? Especially the self. We overcome Satan and this world by controlling ourselves, by not reacting to outside influence. That is self-control. It takes knowledge and understanding what God's will is and how to apply it. We overcome through self-control. That's one of the main tools about overcoming. You know, we make the choice of how we're going to act and not letting sin or external forces dictate how we are going to react to any certain situation. We should know, we should understand God's will. Now, I encourage each and every one of you to set your mind to overcome something in your life, even a small thing. Set your mind to overcome it. Specifically pray about that issue. Specifically pray for more self-control. And specifically pray for more understanding of how to use it. It will help you to grow in Christian character. Set the goal, strive for it, pray for it, make it happen, and you'll be an overcomer. We are able to do this. God does not make mistakes in who he calls. God does not make mistakes in supplying us with the tools to do it with. They're there, all nine of them. We have no excuse. We can do this. God gives us a promise that anyone who asks him for that wisdom, he gives it. It's a promise. It's there. The help is there for us. Setting our minds to overcome even a small thing encourages us to even do more. Believe me, the two strokes that I had, that was more than enough motivation to get me to turn around and change my diet. And it is there. I not only have God helping me, but I have a wife sitting there watching everything I eat too. I can't get away with anything. I try to get an extra cup of coffee now and then, but that's about it. You know, when it first hit, I was chagrined that I would never be able to help her. I would never be able to help the church again. That's a devastating thought. I think she was chagrined for the same reason. I wouldn't be able to help her so much from then on. She would be having to help me all the time. And I want to be a helper, not one that takes other people's time to take care of me. Even overcoming a small thing can start a series of good things, of positive things. First of all, overcoming builds confidence. Confidence builds courage. And both of those are character building items that God is very pleased with. He will help us even for His own purposes. He had a job in mind for us, a career, before He even called us. We are called to fulfill a position. God's word does not go vain. It is going to happen. He will help us for His own reasons, even if we don't understand it. So, God has promised what He started, He will finish. The longer we put off something, the less chance that we'll ever get around to doing it. Sooner the better in that regard. You know, overcomers don't let the trial get the best of them. Now, any illness can take a person down and keep them that way for a long time. Yet, we need the patience to wait for God for the outcome that He chooses to make happen. We need patience. You might think patience is in that list of the nine. Well, actually it is, because it's called long suffering. Long suffering is patience. Where does long suffering, or where does patience come from? What is happening while we're being patient? We are in control of ourselves. You can't be patient if you're out of control of yourself. Patience and self-control go hand in hand. You really can't have one without the other. It takes patience to wait for God to do His will. And while we're doing, we exercise self-control. Luke 21 says that in your patience, we will win our souls. Patience is extremely important to God, because it gives Him time to work out His will instead of us jumping the gun and taking things into our own hands. Now, self-control. It is mentally deciding how to react to something, a certain situation. We have to be thinking about it. There's mental decisions all along the way in our Christian life, and it will be those decisions that we make that determine the final outcome. The outcome of my stroke was there without permanent damage, and I thank God for that. Thank you for all your prayers for that. God answered, and here I am, hopefully speaking as well as I ever have. The only permanent thing is I have now learned to keep on my diet. I'm not going to let this happen again. But I encourage you to find some little focus thing to focus on, to work on, overcome it, and it will build more self-confidence. It'll build more self-control. You know, even overcoming a small thing can reverse a whole vicious cycle. A lot of people get caught up in a cycle, round and round and round, they never come out of it. Just start on one small thing, overcome it, and just breaking that cycle will start a whole bunch of positive things to happen. It can stop the damage to ourselves, turn it around, and start you on this positive path of curing. We can say no to bad things. But when we do, then replace that bad thing, that no, with a good yes. Fill the void. Don't leave it empty. It then becomes an issue of self-respect, a morale builder, a more happy Christian. And we can set our goals on being even more. As you study these fruits, each one is designed by God to give us exactly what we need to overcome. Focus on that. Ask for wisdom on how to use it. Ask for self-control. Although it is called self-control, we are not in this alone. We are doing it. It is our self-control, but it's God that's giving the Spirit in the first place. We are definitely connected. It is teamwork between the two of us. We are not alone in self-control. God gives it, knowing that we need to overcome, knowing us that He's giving us the tool to do it with. And it's really satisfying and pleasing when you know that you've overcome something and you're getting closer to God because of it. It's very rewarding, fulfilling, being happy. Then we can become even more, to overcome more. Mission accomplished, so to speak. God's Spirit is with us, motivate us to do right with God. So, are you in control of yourself? I hope so. I think we are. But there's help for us to use to overcome and be an accomplished son or daughter of God. God has given us the free moral agency to choose how we will, how we act. Choose wisely. Choose self-control. It leads to eternal life.